Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to My Favourite Takeaway, the show for people who love food but cannot always be bothered to cook it. I am Tom Crane and with me is the lovely, kind, generous Simran Shah. How are you, Tim?
We are going to run out of adjectives, aren't we?
We are.
Because you recycle them and you have to because I'm not that great a person. So you're having to make things up, and I see you saying through grit teeth. What people don't realise is that Tom, you're actually the fun, generous, kind person in the relationship.
It's exhausting fictionalizing compliments for a man, you know, lacks all substance, decency, or moral compass. No, that is an absolute lie. Simran, you're a fine man. Sim, I want to get straight into this.
Sure.
Because I've just had a three-hour drive from London to the West Country to visit my mum, and something on the way caught me in the world of takeaways, and it's something that's kind of been nagging at me, and I've decided that I have a strong opinion on it. Okay, we stopped off at McDonald's to get some food on the way, ordered, and you now have to order, as everyone knows, on these huge screens. You don't go up to the till, you tap on these huge screens what your order is, and I've decided I'm not a fan of them. I'm not behind them. What are your feelings on these massive screens that are in basically every fast food takeaway now?
I was at one recently as well, and I'll tell you my bugbear.
Yeah.
Wasn't the screen
okay,
and what was on it and how complicated it was. It was the way people touch the screen.
Yes.
There's two types of people. There's the person who touches the screen with their finger, right? And others who use the sort of knuckle on their finger.
So Simran,
which one are you?
I am the knuckle guy. And this is one of my complaints.
Tommy.
It's such a hangover from the pandemic. But I knuckle
it's
everything.
From the pandemic.
So I knuckle the keypad when I'm getting money out at the at the cash point, whatever, and the McDonald's screen, I'm knuckling everything. And what's annoying about that is the screen is not built to respond to the knuckle. The screen is built to respond
it's
to the
not.
Finger. So most of the time I'm just sort of tapping on the screen and nothing is happening. But I can't think. I'm thinking I can't touch it with the end of my finger because that goes in my mouth and that's where illness is. You know, remember the pandemic. Don't forget. Never forget. So I'm always knuckling this unresponsive screen. So what? I'm guessing you're a finger pusher then.
I'm a finger pusher because it's faster and more efficient, and I don't want to delay any further the takeaway that I'm already craving.
Yeah.
Because I've chosen a slower method of delivery.
Yes, I see what you mean. So you're saying why draw out the process when you're longing for a Big Mac?
Also, I get so angry.
Yeah.
If it's not responsive enough to my touch.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I have to talk to someone. This is just not working. I start losing it. So if I went knuckle,
yeah.
I know I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't last a minute. So I go finger and then I can see myself speeding past all the knuckle draggers that there are.
All the apes.
All the apes in the queue.
As I'm bashing it and getting angry and shaking it. I'm looking at your face at the moment, Simran, and you have a very nice face, but it's given me an idea. The end of the nose arguably has a very similar skin texture to a finger. So maybe the answer is for me to move from the knuckle and start pressing with my nose. Maybe that's the answer. That way, I'm not getting COVID on my fingers or COVID, whichever it is, and I'm still getting my food fast. It's, if you press with the nose, surely it's going to respond to the nose. The nose, I've always said, is the finger of the face.
I worry you would press your nose against that screen.
With my face finger.
You'd, yeah, with your face finger, you'd see a burger that you like and you wouldn't help but actually accidentally kiss it.
Okay. That'll make you, like you love the Big Mac too much.
You'd end up being like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. You got carried away there.
Ronald McDonald coming out saying, thank you. We appreciate the compliment. It's good you like our food, but please leave. Yeah, please leave. So actually, let's find out, okay? Are you a knuckle tapper? Are you a finger presser? Let's find out. You can contact the show on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com, or you can follow us on Instagram on myfavoritetakeawaypod. Let's find out. Do you tap? Do you push? Let's get this sorted once for all. And broader, what do you feel about these big screens? Are you for or against? We want to hear from you. And thank you so much, as always, for getting in contact. And please, we haven't mentioned this for a while, please do leave us a 5-star review and also spread the word, because it makes such a difference to the show. I cannot tell you the difference kind reviews make to this show and to the guests that we can get in the future. And we have a fantastic guest on today, just one of the best. This is literally one of my favourite episodes we've ever recorded. I really mean this. Who is it, Sim?
We have probably one of the funniest people in the UK, Sean Walsh, who is got strong views, goes into detail, is passionate. I'd love it. He was so funny. I couldn't believe the conversation we were having at times. It was great. Sean is on tour starting September, and you can get tickets at seanwalsh.com. And he's also got a couple of podcasts.
He has. He has a podcast called Oh My Dog with Jack D, which is a podcast for people who love dogs. And he also has a podcast called What's Upset You Now with a hilarious Paul McCaffrey, where comedians come on, discuss the things that are annoying them most in the world at this exact moment. And it lasts 15 minutes every episode. Both of them are brilliant. If you've got a dog or you're annoyed about things in life in general, either of those podcasts will serve you well. Here is the wonderful Sean Walsh.
Sean, thanks very much. Your takeaway has already arrived, right?
It has. Thank you. Yes. Splendid. I've served it. It's ready. It's in the plate. I'm ready to go.
Can you show us the plate?
And also, because it's a podcast, can you describe the plate?
I thought you were going to do that, and that's why I was showing it to you.
That's exactly what I was planning on doing, Craig.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. I do you deserve it.
Have you guys either done this before or met? Right, so do you want to point it out or do I?
You take us through it. You're closer to it.
We've got chicken madras. Today, I've gone for plain rice. That's the only thing I really mix up in my Indian takeaways is I go, should I go for pilau or should I go for plain? Today, I've gone for plain.
Yep.
Plain naan, vegetable samosa, and some sagaloo. In my older age, I've actually started tipping a bit of the salad into the main.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. It's big stuff happening here.
So, Sean, my first observation on this, right?
Sorry, can I eat? Sorry.
Yeah. Eat. Fully go for it.
Right, it's not just a prop, because I thought this was my dinner.
There's a certain obligation for you to chip in occasionally as well, though. We have paid for that. Turn off the camera, enjoy your meal.
I thought it was kind of like just get to listen to a podcast whilst I have a chicken madras. What a shame. And the other guests you had on, are they self-conscious about eating on the podcast as well?
I'd say every single guest is self-conscious about eating on the podcast.
James Acaster described it as a fundamental flaw in the idea, but what does he know, to be honest? What does he know about food podcasts?
Didn't Ed Gamble say, the problem is split attention, it's just not going to work? So,
well, we'll prove them wrong. And they've both been on, so more for them.
Sean, the first thing I want to say is that you've put every ingredient onto that. You've put them all onto the plate. So you've got your rice and you've got your curry and you've got a samosa there and you've got a salad and you've got your naan. Is that right?
Well, hang on, what are you using? Have you got a saucer or a side dish? This is perfectly normal. What are you...
See, I don't think it is that normal.
You know, something being normal doesn't depend on whether or not you do it. That's not how normal works.
I thought you might say that, and actually, yeah. I completely disagree.
Okay, fine, right, okay.
I think I'm the average everyman, right? You can hear it in the sound of my voice. So I think what I do is normal. And what I'm saying... But when I unload a takeaway and I put it on the kitchen table, kitchen counter,
yes,
I'm just taking the bits that I want to eat then and there, putting it on a plate. So I'll take out the curry and the naan and then go and eat that. And then I might come back for some rice, or I might come back for something else.
So I would probably strike a middle ground here. I agree with what you're saying, Sim. What I would do is I would have the samosa on its own beforehand. For me, the samosa is clearly a starter. It doesn't go with the other bit.
Fuck off, do you have a starter at home? If we were in the restaurant, then I would understand. You are cold-faced lying.
Cold-faced lying?
Well, Sean, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. I will even have three courses. I will have poppadoms and dips. Then I will move on to what is clearly the starter, which in this case is the samosa. And anyone with a sound mind can see that. And then you move on to the main course, which is the curries. Let's say you have a Chinese. Would you not have spring rolls to begin with on their own, for example?
No!
No, you see, Sean, are you saying you're piling the spring rolls onto your mains?
It's a takeaway. We're at home. The bag's out. The plates are out. Pot, pass me the pot. Pass me that pot. We're not eating with royalty. What are you talking about?
But you can fool yourself that the theatre of it is correct. That you are in it. For a moment, you go, well, this is how I'd eat it in a restaurant. I might as well.
This is absolute. I did not expect to hear this madness.
What Sean has done, which I think solves one of our problems, especially a problem that I have, and no doubt, obviously, everyone else in the country would have, is that Sean doesn't need to keep going back and forth into the kitchen to reload because he's got it all there.
Well, guys, something interesting about me, dare I say it, is I always leave myself seconds.
Ah.
So even if the takeaway is small, I will always leave myself seconds to give myself the pleasure of finishing and remembering, even though I know because I did it, but still it's a little game with yourself, that there is more.
Interesting, yeah.
Isn't that a lovely feeling? There is more.
Well, you know, you can also achieve that by having starters and then a main course.
But the problem that you've got there, right, is that if you've got a starter, that's very disciplined. Too disciplined to go, I'm just going to have this bit and I'm not going to have that bit yet. That's too much discipline involved.
I agree.
The reason that you've ordered a takeaway on most occasions, maybe not most occasions, but a lot of occasions, is because you are starving and you can't be bothered to cook. So where are you getting all this self? Are you meditating, wellness, yoga retreats? What are you doing? Are you mad?
I go away to Tibet for a week before every takeaway. And I'm Gongba for 700 hours.
Crane, are you not? If I take your starter thing, having the starter yes, separately,
which I always do.
Okay, if I've unloaded a Chinese or an Indian and there's a samosa there or there's a spring roll, I might have that at the counter or on the table.
Sorry, again, I've got to interrupt again because you're the man that's, you know, you've said that you are what is representing the kind of everyman normality. I've got to say, I've been alive for 37 years now.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how comfortable I am with this repetition of the word counter.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The counter?
I don't think I know what counter means.
What I'm talking about is the side, on the side.
The side? What do you mean the side?
The side. No, Sean's right. It is the side.
The side of what?
The kitchen side.
The kitchen side.
The kitchen side?
Yes. Sorry, do you have a house? Do you live somewhere? Or are you just outside? You've never heard of a house, a side. Everywhere, everyone has a side. You say, leave it on the side. Where is it? On the side. I left it on the side.
Which side?
It's on the side. Which side? In the hallway side. No, not the hallway side. The kitchen side.
No, I say things like left counter, right counter. It's very straightforward.
Hallway counter.
Hallway counter.
Don't take a photo of me that way. That's my bad counter.
Yeah, for God's sake, the man's off counter. It's so obvious. He's off counter.
Oh, come on, Tom. Whose counter are you on anyway?
Oh God, this is counter-splitting conversation.
I've got a different word, which is you keep using the word Simran, you keep using the word also unloading a takeaway as well. Oh. Like you're a delivery man. What is that?
Do you know what? I heard that and I thought, I'll let you have that. You're absolutely right. Unloading, where is it? In the dishwasher? Oh my God.
So Sean, I'm quite interested about that thing. So you say you leave yourself seconds. So would that be whatever it is? Let's say you'll have burger and chips.
Well, burger and chips is harder, but yes, there will be There will be some leftover chips, yeah, on the set. If it can be left over, always.
So how do you feel, Sean, when you've run out of stuff and you want more? Are you the kind of person when you've got order a takeaway that you would order again?
Yeah. I've had three, I don't know this, I can't remember actual specifics, but I've definitely ordered two Nando's in a day.
You've gone back to the same takeaway twice?
Yeah.
Have you gone with a different heat level when you've returned, or have you just gone for exactly the same order?
No, I think it was the same order.
Was it? Wow.
Yeah. Because on delivery on the app, it's just reorder.
Yeah.
So you don't have to. I mean, I would have been very hungover, but I didn't have to make the choice again. It was just, I'll just do the same one again.
But I find that button a bit depressing. The fact, the sort of monotony of life that is there. It doesn't, you can click and go same again. Yeah. You just want to live with. Or do you want to feel something different? Or do you want to just click this button and do exactly the same? Grey nothingness that was yesterday. So, Sean, so you're eating this curry. I was going to say, very briefly, you're eating it from a plate at a table at the moment. How do you normally eat a takeaway? What's the vibe in your house when you get a takeaway?
So takeaway, is this normal, I put it to you? Once you and your other half agree on takeaway, and there's that relief, isn't there? There's that wonderful relief that you're going to do that. Whoever orders it, even though we're now just in app land and you're not having to talk to anyone, whoever orders it, that means that the other person has to answer the door.
Right, yeah.
Am I on covered ground?
My situation would be that I order all the takeaways for us because my girlfriend hasn't got Deliveroo or whatever Uber Eats on her phone, simply just my wife even. She has, sorry.
Which one?
And neither is my girlfriend. But the split that we have is that one of us gets it from the door, the other one has to get the plates from the kitchen. So that's the deal in us.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and you come back and the plates are there. And the best thing about the takeaway, which I really love, is that it comes with the bin. The takeaway bag is the bin.
Yes, yes, yes. But people forget that all the time. Shove it all back in that bag and then shove that bag in that bin.
It's a bag. It was a bag. It's now a bin. That is amazing. Look how it's done it. So, yeah, all the containers in the bin. I love that. But what I'll do, like you say, we stand around the side. We're at the side. Okay. And, yes, it's passing each other containers. You have that bit. I have that bit. We fill the plates. And now what I tried to do in recent times with the missus is actually we now do have it round the table.
Do you?
But that's a very, yeah.
Do you? Did that happen organically? Was that an active decision to eat round the table a bit more so you should do that?
Yes.
Or were you like...
No, it was a decision.
And are you making it romantic? Are you lighting a candle, putting a bottle of wine there? Are you changing the lighting?
I make it really romantic actually for her is I bring around another man for her. And she has it really... She loves that. Give her a break.
Just to give her a break.
She has a lovely time. I'm really subconscious about this. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to get the food. Do you do this when you're eating with someone that isn't a close friend? It doesn't matter if it's a close friend, but maybe even if you've ever, if you work in an industry where you end up having to have lunch with people you don't know that well, and then you keep on having to try and wait for the other person to be talking so that you can quickly get them in your mouth.
That was Sean perfectly putting in a piece of curry in his mouth so that he didn't disrupt the flow of the conversation.
Also, what a way to find out we're not close friends. All right, mate, well done. Absolute bullet through the heart. 20 minutes in, confident shot. Tim, man, you deal with the rest of this. This guy hates me.
Okay, no. You've got to move on.
Oh, my God, sorry.
Just to the bag and the bin thing, because I agree that is what you should do, but quite often I rip open the bag to get the stuff out, and then I've destroyed my future receptacle.
I really think it's the irony of you running a takeaway podcast. You're really doing this all wrong.
Are you saying you're not so excited to open that takeaway that you don't rip the bag and sort of lay it flat and then just sort of lay it all out there?
No, in the same way I don't just kick the shit out of my cupboard and break the cupboard. Just like, I wouldn't do that to a bin. You're breaking a bin.
Yeah, but it's not actually a bin, is it?
No, you're getting to a big philosophical quandary. It is a bin. If you're chucking something away in it, it is a bin. You can't tell me it's not a bin. I was once a bin. Can I tell you about the time I was once a bin?
Please.
I was genuinely once a bin. And actually, just to, I've only just remembered this. I wasn't kind of setting myself up to say this. This does involve samosas.
Oh, perfect.
I love eating at night. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
How late?
Okay, Tom. Be aggressive, dad-like question.
No, I'm not in a sort of keep yourself slim, don't eat after 7 cents. I mean, what do you mean by night? Do you mean 2 in the morning or 10?
It could be, well, I stay up quite late, but really, I would love a little, just picking away at some cheese at 1 in the morning.
Right, okay. Well, that's the last thing you should be eating at night, Sean. Have it played with your dream. Famously.
I know you're right, but I really just love picking at food at night. It's a real guilty pleasure.
And you getting out of bed to do that, or are you still up?
Well, here we go. So I sometimes can't get to sleep because I'm so hungry. Do you ever have that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, right, we all know that thing. Yeah. Right? I'm starving and I can't get to sleep because of how hungry I am. I'm so tired, but I can't get to sleep because I'm so hungry. I'm like, right, I've got to get up and I've got to eat something to get to sleep. So I got up. And all that was left was one of those kind of, I don't know what, probably Marks and Spencers or something, but like the sides of an Indian side, so bhajis and samosas. And I put them in the oven for 12 minutes, so I kind of just stand there leaning on the counter, and I wait for them to cook.
They're called Indian counters, by the way, just to be clear.
So, cook the food, put the food on a plate, take the food into my bed, and I eat a couple of the samosas and a couple of the bhajis. Now, surprisingly, this doesn't normally happen to me. For some reason, I became immediately stuffed. Normally, I could eat. I really can eat. I will finish everything. It's fine. I was so stuffed. I just couldn't eat anymore. So I went to put the plate on the floor, but I just got my dog, Mildred Barrett. So I couldn't put the bhajis and the samosas on the floor because, you know, it would poison her. But I really cannot get across how tired I was. So the only thing I could do was kind of stuff this food into my mouth. But it wasn't eating. It wasn't eating. I was chucking the food away, but in me. And I realised, it was a really bleak moment where I realised I'm a bin. Have you ever been a bin?
Yeah, that's a low.
That's a low. That is a low.
Give you that. It's as you're shoving a mango chutney pot into your mouth as well. As you think this has really gone too far.
The whole thing. It's the whole thing. The napkins, just shoving them down.
In the middle of the seat.
This receipt. Do I have to? Yeah, you do. You committing to it.
No, this is not a problem. I don't know why I'm asking this. It's an issue in my life, but can you not give a dog onion bhajis?
If you're not sure, you're not going to, are you?
No, that's a good point. It's not as useful as don't give a pigeon or bread or anything, is it? It doesn't come up as much. Don't dog onion bhajis. But it's useful. Nonetheless, it's useful information to have. It might come up at a point about 15 years ago. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't give him that.
Sean, are you... okay, so I've got a question about eating in bed, because we have a lot of our guests who choose to eat in bed, eat takeaways in bed. Do you have like a plan, or do you have like a process in which you eat in bed to avoid crumbs? You don't mind crumbs, you like sweep it down. Where do you place the plate? Do you have like a little lap tray? Matt Crosby has a lovely lap tray.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Splendid.
And his wife as well. They have matching lap trays.
Please, please tell me you did some investigative journalism here and asked where they kept those lap trays.
Yes.
Can I guess?
Yep, we do.
On top of the fridge.
I remember it being, I think it was just down by the sofa in the living room.
I think it was under a table in the living room.
It's one of those three places. But it wasn't that thorough. Simran was so taken by it. Simran, he went and bought a lap tray, didn't you? You were so taken by it. You bought your own one.
I did. I bought it immediately.
Claire and I have an even weirder thing in that you say you come to the decision where you're going to order from. Claire and I will order from separate takeaways most of the time.
No wonder you're in a fucking hotel. It's the most mental thing I've ever heard. This is mad. This podcast is so much madder than I thought it was going to be. Not my favourite takeaway. Oh, come on, I'll go Madras, bhajis. Oh, my stomach's a bit worse than it used to be. So you get different takeaways. You are sick.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I actually said to my friend, again, I'm not making this up. It sounds like my whole life revolves around takeaway food. I actually said to my friend the other day that when historians, when they look back at when, like, when did everything go seriously wrong with the planet, global warming, you know, they're always talking about the point where, what is it, the point of no return.
Yes, yeah.
In terms of the planet and global warming and all of that. I said the other day that they are going to trace that all the way back to the first couple that got different takeaways on delivery.
Sorry, are you putting me on a par with Chinese industry? This is what's happening at this point.
Totally. Okay. Totally, utterly stand by it. It's too much, man. It's too much. Someone is bringing you food. Like, that's amazing. It can end there. You're indulging. You're making it. Yes. You're ruining it. It's disgusting. Part of the excitement is coming to the decision together as a team of what you're going to have. But you're guzzling.
Sean, we're 10 years in. Excitement's a thing of the past. So you'll come to realise that when you reach this point in your relationship.
Tom is the reason there are all these, you know, stop the oil people jumping in the road and all of that. It's him. They're trying to stop him. That is too much. It's too much.
I do go out of my house to the takeaway bike around the road. I'll come and meet him. I'll cut him off, he's saving a bit of fuel there.
What do you mean you cut him off? Cut him off what?
By like 10 metres or something. I go, stop. Think about the planet.
Stop right now. I'm fucking getting it off myself, thanks. You don't need to come any further. Okay.
And I'll see you in half an hour when you return with my girlfriend, Jill Frazee. Wife, she's my wife.
So, Tom, I can only assume you do this because you got into arguments with your girlfriend, wife, over what to order. So, my question to you then is, do you have disagreements with your partner about what to order, and how do you resolve them?
Oh God! See, I'm very lucky because I'm a sulky little boy.
Okay, that sounded a little seedy. I'm not gonna lie. Say it again. What are you?
There'll be someone in the world who makes 400 grand a year doing that.
There will be. What are you? You're a sulky little boy.
What? I'm a bin. Say it. I'm a bin. Say it. Say you're a bin. I'm a bin.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh.
So, you're a sulky little boy.
I'm a sulky little boy, and I'm a bit fussy. So Grace loves sushi, but I refuse. I like what I like. There's going to be no kind of browsing.
Difficult personality is what is it?
Challenging.
You're both being very polite. It's not quite how Grace words it.
So you're very clear about what you like, yeah.
But it's not, that kind of sounds like that could be quite nice. But actually, it's mainly painful because it means that you can't enjoy anything else apart from the thing you like. So when I do kind of bend for Thai, I'll be eating the Thai, but the whole time I'll just be thinking in a kind of partridge way, this could have been Indian. Yeah. How's your Thai, Alan? Oh, yeah, it was fine, but it just could have been Indian.
No, I do get that. Yeah. I tell you a thing. Have you ever had this where you've been thinking about getting a takeaway all day? You'll be visiting a friend or a family member and they say they're going to cook for you. That, for me, is the greatest heartache of all.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as good. I've been thinking about an Indian takeaway all day. And now Josh Riddigan's making me a veggie chili. Okay. No amount of sour cream is going to battle back against this.
Sean, you were earlier saying about there's always more and how profound that is, but also how practical it is because then you can eat again when you're hungry. What's your view on leftovers?
So, pardon me. Like I say, you save yourself some to go back to. If there's really too much that for some reason I'm not finishing the second time round, I'll do that thing then when I get up and like late at night. I sometimes, do you ever do this? You go for like a late night wee, and then, but then just like stop off in the kitchen and have a bargee.
I wasn't expecting bargee. I was expecting, I don't know, just a little snack.
You freed up space. You think that's that urine is about the weight of a bargee. I think I could fill exactly with a bargee.
I love it. Just like stale poppadom. Love it. Been left over. Oh.
Now, on that, you haven't ordered poppadoms with this meal. Is there a reason for that? You are a fan of them?
Mm-hmm. I bloody forgot, actually.
Heartbreak.
I normally answer the door, and Grace normally orders it. She would have put the poppadoms, so I wouldn't have had to remember that. By the way, I was meant to tell you, I've had to break my curry ban for you.
Why have you got a curry ban? Well, yeah, talk to us about that.
Because last week, I had 4 Indian takeaways.
4 Indian takeaways? Are we talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
So I had 4 in 5 days.
Who imposed a ban, Sean?
Me.
It wasn't the takeaway where you rang up and said, that's enough from us. No way are we sending you more stuff. Come on, mate.
I can't believe it. I've been cancelled again, but this time from Indian restaurant. I don't believe it.
So 4 in a week. By the time you get to 3, are you still enjoying it?
We had 2. I went to the same restaurant. The other was a takeaway.
Yeah.
So I said 4 takeaways. What I mean is 4 curries. Sorry. 2 were in the restaurant. So 3 of them were from the same place. It's just that twice I ate in the place. And then the other one, I don't know why. Oh, yes. Grace made a curry. So I decided I've got to go on a curry ban because it's too much and I'm beginning to not enjoy it. And this is going down so well, this curry, but I should be honest with you and tell you, I've been dreading this all day. I've been really dreading doing this podcast.
Just to be clear, Sean chose a curry himself. We didn't force him to have this.
Weirdly, for most guests, the food is the one bit they actually look forward to. The rest of it they could do without.
I swear my life, this is awful. I shouldn't really be telling you. I didn't plan on telling you this. But when the bell went for my curry, I went, oh, fucking hell. Look, I really do not need this curry. I've now had 5 curries in 8 days.
That is absolutely wonderful.
I would love to see the CCTV footage of me taking the containers out of the bag. I'm so depressed. Just going, oh, God, why did I get the Sargaloo? I didn't even need to tell them about that. Fuck,
wow. That's the thing. You had complete control over what you could have ordered.
But I just wanted to, I actually, at the same time, because I'm such a professional, I wanted to be honest, and that is what I order.
Okay.
You know what I'm like, mate? I'll go on any show.
That was said with such a threatening menace.
Someone said that to me the other day in the green room, doing a gig. And they went like, what would you turn down? I was like, do you not know about my career? There's nothing I would turn down. I evidently do anything. I have no dignity whatsoever.
What would you say, career-wise, is the lowest of things you've taken? What is the thing where you've thought, what the hell am I doing? I really want to know how bad it got.
There are so many options.
Top 5.
Not my
top 5 worst career decisions of my life.
I can't actually even go through, because if I had to talk about it in detail, I can't go through even 5 because my laptop is only on 98%.
Yeah.
I remember once when I was very young. Well, is that very young? I was like 25, and I had a massive show. It was a massive hit called Sean Walsh World on Comedy Central. It kind of changed comedy in the same way, you know, like Lenny Bruce all over again. And I did this show, right? I, you know, it's big. Your name is going to be on a show. I mean, yeah. You know, who turns that down? I didn't have enough. I look at some of, you know, some really, some comedians that people actually respect. And I look at them and I go, they had belief in themselves. They did what they were like, what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that. And I did this show called Sean Walsh World. And when we went to film the credits, right, I hadn't seen the show. I had no sense of what the show was. We did the credits before we did the show. And so when we were doing the credits, the man was telling me to do like kung fu kicks in the credits.
Who's the man?
Sorry, the director.
The director. It's important in that situation just to check some credentials of this person.
Yeah, I'm not the state. I don't mean the state. So this is very bleak. It's very me. But he was getting me through these kung fu kicks and like star jumps and stuff like that. I suddenly dawned on it. It was that moment I realised what I was doing. And I said, sorry, guys, do you mind if I just pop to the shop? And I went out and I walked to a spa. There was a spa like down the road. I was 25! 2 minutes before I did this, I was doing cartwheels. I went into the spa. I went into the corner of the spa where the milk was and I cried.
Oh, no!
Oh, Sean, I didn't expect that.
I was just like, oh, God. And like, you think, I've been a bin.
No, to be fair, at that point, you'd yet to be a bin. That was in your future.
At that point, I could only dream.
Dream of...
Hold on, just to rewind a bit. Why did you cry over the fact that you had to do cartwheels?
Because no one fucking envisions themselves doing kung fu kicks in the fucking title sequence of their own fucking show, do they? Did they just go, what happened? I could have been, at 25, I was already thinking, I could have been a contender.
Do you know what's a bit hurtful, Sean? I did a bit of writing for that. You haven't mentioned it once. Sorry you thought it was so shit. I tried my best. Unbelievable. You just have to turn up and do a few kicks on the day, get paid 10 grand an episode. I was on an average day rate, slogging my heart out.
Oh, if only you looked to your right, crying would have been there, crying his eyeballs out and the other aisle in the same shop.
Oh, my God.
On my TV, that, Sean.
Oh my God.
I remember a real low for me once. I was doing an advert audition for Cravendale. Remember Cravendale? And they asked me to, pull the face of a man who hadn't seen milk in a while. And I don't know how you do that. And I was at this audition just doing stupid faces. And Yeah.
Pull the face of a man that hadn't seen milk in a while.
That was the director's instruction.
Sorry, there's a little problem here, Tom. I don't know if there's something wrong with your connection or something. You've not pulled that face for us.
I was just thinking the same thing, Sean.
I don't know if the connection's bad, your end or something. Sorry, Tom, it must be my Wi-Fi. Sorry, I didn't get the face.
It's a bit like that. Is that right? It's sort of like a sad monk. That's a little bit worried. I don't know. Is that right? I don't know. But it was awful. I remember saying... under my breath as I was doing the face, oh, the milk. And he said, you can't just say it.
You can't just say it.
But anyway.
Oh, Tom. Come on, mate. First rule of writing, show, don't tell.
Let's drag ourselves kicking screaming back to takeaways again.
Back to curry, which I'm very happy about.
So... In general, what sort of takeaway order are you in general? Are you an overall orderer? Are you some? What do you like in general?
I've done the thing. I've taken a bite at the wrong.
No, that's all right. That's
sorry.
Okay. Are you spitting it out? You don't need to do that.
No, I had to kind of swallow it. I'm really I've got a thing called I think it's misophobia. So, and what that is the kind of irrational hatred of the sound of people eating.
Oh.
I then become very self-conscious of me chewing, which is why I had to get away from the mic.
So to avoid hating yourself, you need to eat away from the mic.
There's no avoiding that, mate. if you find out a way of that, let me know.
So if you're out for a meal with someone, is the sound of them eating an issue?
If we're eating somewhere where the music is not on, I will have to say... Excuse me, sorry, could you put some music on, please?
Really?
Really?
Which is a very it's a very strange request. Sometimes if you eat with someone around their house, they won't put on music, which drives me fucking insane. And when you're around someone's house, you can't say, do you mind putting on some music? Yeah. I really shouldn't be giving away my secrets on this.
So what do you do?
I'll just go, oh, God, have you heard that new album? You should hear this. Actually, I'll put it on, but don't worry, I'll put it on quietly. And then I'll just put on some music.
What if you're at the buffet table at a wait? Are you going across to the grieving widow and saying, do you mind if I put on Kasabian? That's an amazing thing.
There has to be a background thing. It just drives me insane.
And is that just a food thing, or would you have that if it's not food? So it's just you can't just sit there having a conversation with someone and there not be music in the background.
No, that's fine. It's to eat it. See, my dad didn't have his own teeth, you see. He would eat, like, he would go like...
Oh!
And it would sound like that. And so it kind of scarred me and my brother. But he has the same thing as me. We cannot hear people chewing. You see someone get on the train with an apple.
Yeah.
I'm off.
Really?
I was on the train yesterday coming... Was it yesterday? Yesterday or the day before, coming back from Blackpool, and a young lady sat across the aisle, the two chairs the other side of me, sorry, the other counter of me, and she had a bag of crisps, and she opened them, and one crunch, and I moved carriage.
No, Sean, that is so, you're so sensitive to that.
That's mesophobia.
That's amazing.
So would you say... You shouldn't be allowed to eat in the quiet carriage. That's a genuine question.
You should be allowed to breathe in the quiet carriage.
Are you okay with people eating on public transport in general?
No. So I've got, obviously I've got views on this, but crisps, no. Crisps would be banned on trains. Apples banned on trains.
Pears?
Mainly crunchy fruit. So crunchy apples, fruit. Pears, okay. Gone. You can have a banana. You can probably have an orange. I've realised now that I've really come out as a psychopath on this podcast.
Well, you say you can have a banana. My dad hated the smell of banana so much that on a family trip once, my brother was eating a banana. We were on a motorway. He wound down the window and hurled it out of the window across the carriageway, like three carriageways.
Oh, my God.
Banana. And because it's boomerang shaped, it came back. Couldn't believe it.
Lovely stuff.
He did, straight across three lanes of traffic.
Oh, my God.
Did he take the banana out of your brother's mouth and throw it out the window?
My brother had started to unpeel the banana. My dad grabbed it, wound on the window, and went straight out across the motorway.
No way. That is aggressive.
So back to takeaways. Sorry, I keep digressing. It's my fault. Takeaways.
Well, I had a specific question, actually. So you have that sort of unusual relationship with sound. That covers, normally we ask, kind of, do you have unusual takeaway habits? I think we could tick that off. But what about takeaway disasters? Are there any takeaway disasters anytime you've ordered a takeaway and it's gone wrong?
Yes. First of all, little thing, and this is just a kind of starter, so you'll like it, is Deliveroo needs to get rid of this policy they have where they're allowing their drivers to just have a bicycle. That has got to go.
What do you think they should be travelling in?
If you're just coming on a bicycle, then I want a discount.
Because it's too slow? What's the worry?
Yeah, what's the problem here?
Well, it's slower, because when you look at the map, the best thing is when the Deliveroo goes like, it's nearby, and it gives you the map, and it's like, right, there's the map, and you look, and you got a car, you got a moped, and it kind of whizzes to your house, to your location, and it's very exciting. You kind of watch it, it takes like 10 seconds. It's there! Oh, fucking, it's there! It's around the corner! Open the door! Get it! It's there. On a bicycle, you just watch that in real time for about 17 minutes, this prick. On a bicycle, he's not using his wages to save up for a moped.
Right? Can I refer you just very briefly to half an hour ago when you said I was solely responsible for global warming? And now you're poo-pooing the very idea of someone travelling without an engine.
the end of humanity began at this point.
No, that has to stop. That's unacceptable.
Are you not? Because I think that with the bicycle, I feel rest assured. I feel confident that it will weave through the traffic.
And they can cut through a park.
It's true. They can jump up on curbs. They can do the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
jump up on curbs.
Yeah, they can do ollies.
They can do
wheelies.
They can do that look no hands thing.
Yeah, they can get on a half pipe. They can do a 1080.
Come on, Dad. Isn't that what you want?
They also need to get rid of. So they need to get rid of the cyclists. And also, this happened to me the other day, actually. And I suppose it didn't end in disaster. Eventually, got the food. And on this occasion, the temperature was okay. But this thing of the driver has your food. and is dropping off someone else's food first. Well, fuck off then.
God, yeah.
The excitement is, you know, I saw the, I thought you were coming to me, and it's like, and then I found out you're seeing other people. I thought this was just me and you. Who the fuck is this guy?
And you cycled here as well. If it wasn't enough. Okay, yeah.
The design, it's not, actually, it has a happy ending, but when you order, it's when I was younger, very, very drunk, order the meal, and then the thing is closed.
Okay.
I've ordered too late, but then you wake up in the morning or the afternoon, and I've been woken up by a Chinese.
I actually don't think I've had that happen.
Have you? I thought I was going to say that, and you were going to go, "Oh, we get that all the time."
I think that's the first time that we've had a guest come on and say that they've been woken up by the takeaway order that they placed the day before.
Are you saying it ticks over to the next day? So the staff come into work and they open up their app and they're like, oh, there's an order. Is that what happens?
I can't believe you do a takeaway podcast and you've not. I thought I was being hacked.
No. So what do you think's happening? Because this has blown my mind.
So you order the food, but then it's shut. And then I drunkenly fell asleep. And then I was woken in the afternoon, open the door. My Chinese was there. They get the order and they cook it first thing.
Wow.
So it's the opposite of a disaster. At the time when I discovered it was shut, I was devastated.
But who do they think is doing... Who do they think at 11:30 at night going, you know what, I fancy at 1 p.m. tomorrow in chow mein. I'll get that in. I've got such a busy morning. I'll get that, tick that off the to-do list.
I'll order it now so that I don't have to in the morning. I'm the guy that gets things done.
I tell you another thing in line with that. When you go to an Indian restaurant, you open it and it says for this dish, you have to give us 48 hours of notice.
Oh, yeah.
Who is doing that? There's like always on most Indian restaurants.
I've never seen that in my life. What are you talking about?
Have you seen this, Simran? There'll be a couple of dishes where you have to ring two days in advance if you want it.
Well, what is it? Another cuisine? If you want French food, do give us 48 hours.
To learn the trade, we've got to get... Sean, look, here's a question that we ask all of our guests. Oh, he's taking a big bite there.
No, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. What was your go-to? It's 2 a.m. You come back from a night out. What's your go-to takeaway of choice?
Well, obviously, yes, your options are now limited.
Correct.
So I think, and I'm afraid I'm not giving you anything original here, but it will be Ronald.
Oh, actually, we don't often get him. Most people, it's a kebab.
I'm very lucky, actually. I never got into kebabs. I have no interest in kebabs. It's disgusting.
I'm, good Turkish food, even like nice shish or whatever happens to be. You know.
He's not going to say no to that. Is he? He's not going to be like, even good Turkish food.
Yeah. No, just anything Turkish. I want nothing to do with it. No, because you don't know at that time of night. I mean, you're not really. You just want what you know. The golden arches always there for you.
And what is your go-to order then? What's your go-to McDonald's order then?
Okay, Big Mac meal. Unfortunately, something that's happened in age. Oh God, it is awful. Is the 6 chicken nuggets has gone up to 9?
Has it? Yeah.
So Big Mac meal, large fries, 9 chicken nuggets as a counter.
Yeah, lovely, lovely.
An apple pie.
Oh, yes, please, Sean. Mate, apple pie.
Mate, an apple pie. Again, maybe this is slightly unique because Grace always thinks this is totally bizarre, is to convince myself that I'm not a total scumbag with this order and to try and make myself feel that little bit better about the bad thing that I've done. Is I have a Buxton's bottle of water.
That is exactly the same order as mine, apart from I have the Tropicana orange juice.
Sean, one thing I do with the apple pie, which I can't have not said before.
Oh, not this story, Simran. No, not this story. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Tom. One more time. Sometimes I squeeze the filling out of the apple pie and just have the crusty bit.
That is bleaker than a 25-year-old boy crying in the corner of a spa into milk.
Is it? Is it?
It really is.
Yeah, that is mad, to be fair. So, you get rid of the apple, which is like the main part of the pie.
Yeah.
That's insane.
No one's done that. You're the first person to have ever done that.
And I absolutely love it. And what I won't do is scoop up the sort of filling afterwards and shove it back.
Are you doing this at a table or are you standing at the counter in front of them, just taking it out of the bag and squeezing it and staring them in the eye as you do it? Just going everywhere over the till.
I throw it out the window and that's it.
I'm now imagining whether you could use that cavity and put different McDonald's things inside and whether it would be nice. Like whether you could use it to put fries or chicken nuggets in there, whether that sweet savoury thing could work.
That'd be disgusting. That'd be absolutely horrific.
So that wouldn't work and you're just trying to fill air on your podcast. You're just trying to say things.
We're over time here. It's all right. We don't need to go. let's let you run with this for a bit.
A chicken nugget covered in the batter from an apple pie obviously wouldn't work. I bloody love a drive-through as well. I know that's not necessarily a takeaway, but I bloody love a drive-through. Very nice, very fun.
You prefer it?
I don't prefer it, but I love the stuff. I hope it never changes. I hope they don't try and better it. I like the way it is. I like that you get a little chat with them up top. Hey, yeah, how are you? Yeah. You order it, and then you get to meet them, and you go, oh, there you are. That's what you look like. It's like Wizard of Oz. That's what you look like in real life. behind the curtain.
Clown there.
I once, on one of the Glastonbury's that I went to, me and my before I drove, but my friend was feeling very ropey, as you do, as you tend to when leaving Glastonbury. It's one of my favourite ever anecdotes. We left Glastonbury, you know, we both feel awful. And so we see those golden arches, which is absolutely, you know, it's like finding heaven. And we pull into the drive-thru and can you take your order, please? And we're feeling awful. What do you want? Oh, I told her, get me this. And order it. And we were we told not order. We were so hungover that we drove off. We had forgotten to stop for the food, and about an hour down the motorway went, fuck McDonald's!
I love that.
Do you think the car that came next was given? What do you think happened to that?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder whether a family got like a double. It's like, you know, might as well be paid for.
I'm gonna guess they've never experienced that before. Yeah. They're going, so did those? Do you reckon those two guys thought they were doing a prank? But did they not pay? No, they paid. They did pay. They just drove off. What did they shout, wanker? No, they were really nice.
Absolutely incredible.
Actually, a quick question before we wrap up, but this is about driving and eating. If you got your McDonald's in the drive-thru and you hadn't driven off without it, would you have eaten it in the drive-thru or would you have started driving and being fed it by your passenger? Oh, here he is.
You've really touched.
I've opened up something towards the end of the show. That's not ideal, is it?
I've kind of got to be careful what I say here, but I worked with someone once that was driving us back for the show, and it was very late. We were very far, and we stopped off for a McDonald's, as you do. We were all knackered. We got our McDonald's, and me and Jake Lambert, who had just heard this, sorry guys, and we like turned around, and he was like, "Do you mind if I just eat my McDonald's here?" And I mean, I've never hated someone so much in my entire life. I couldn't, and we couldn't be rude. We just had to go. Oh yeah, you know, of course. And it's like, you're not using fucking chopsticks. You just stuff food in your mouth whilst you drive. Can't you drive and eat to McDonald's? What are you talking about? I now drive. And I text Jake Lambert the other day and said, now that I drive, I think that is even more mental. You just stuff your face with a burger and you drive. Who can't drive? If you can't drive and eat to McDonald's, you shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Do you think it should be part of the test?
I think it should be.
Absolutely. But, and if you're someone that goes, I'm not up to it, well, then don't get in the fucking car. Stay way, well away from this car and other passengers and human beings. You are dangerous.
It's an emergency stop and a one-handed bite. That's what you need to do.
Totally.
So, Sean, have you come to the end of your meal, or have you still got some left?
Do you know what? I've got a bit of naan left, but I've also got my leftovers that I've left inside. Sorry, I say inside. I'm not eating this from the garden.
You are not stinking the house out with that food. Get in the garden. Get in the garden.
But I run out of sauce. The naan needs to be dipped in some sauce. So that's okay. what I'm going to get.
Before you go, can you just tell our listeners where your food is from? Take us very briefly what you think of the dishes and whether you'd recommend them.
So Raj of India on Shepherd's Bush Road, a wonderful, wonderful people. They've been there for a long, long time. And also the building is really lovely. There's no other building like it on Shepherd's Bush Road. They've kind of made it look like a mini temple. I don't know the words, I'm afraid. I don't have the words to articulate what that looks like. You're just going to have to Google it. You'll see, you go, oh yeah, that does look a bit different. I wouldn't expect to see
it. How many is it? Is it prohibitively small? Crawling in your hands and knees. Cat flap at the front door. Beautiful food, but very uncomfortable. Okay, so it's a tiny temple.
Listen, Raj of India, they're fantastic. It's really lovely. And it's, but it's what I love about it is it's traditional kind of Indian takeaway, like kind of British Indian takeaway. So it's, you know, it's your chicken madrasses, it's your jalfrezis, it's your boonas. Because now, obviously, street food, India street food and stuff. And sometimes you go to these places and you say chicken madras and they don't have it. But Raj of India is just old school. And I really love that about it. I'm sorry, it wasn't open today. But in terms of like the more kind of trendy Indian street food, there's a lovely little place called Patry on Hammersmith Grove. And that's a bit more trendy, you know, a lot more kind of bits to pick at. And that's called Patrick. And the staff in there are wonderful. Like they come out and they tell you about the food. And there's a guy and he's tested the food and his parents owned an Indian restaurant. What I love about Patrick is they really, really care. It's my favorite kind of snazzy Indian. I prefer it over Dishoom. Dishoom's very trendy. But Patry, I prefer over Dishoom. And then Raj of India, if you just want your classic British standard stuff. But they're both amazing.
Well, Sean, that's been an absolute joy. I can say that's genuinely one of my favourite episodes we've done.
Yeah, that was really fun.
It's been one of my favourite. I did not expect today when the door buzzed and I had to eat yet another fucking Indian that this was going to be one of my favourite all-time podcast appearances. It's been a lot of fun.
It's really fun, Sean. Thank you so much.
You have a new listener as well. It's been great.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You can contact the show on Twitter at Fave Takeaway Pod or Instagram on My Favorite Takeaway Podcast. You can email us with your stories of takeaway, woe, gripes, your worries on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com.
That was an absolutely great record. I love talking to Sean and I will never ever say unload my food again.
Cut to next week's episode.
That's it. That was my main learning.
Your main takeaway, you could say, from that episode. Sean is brilliant, as I say. What an absolute joy to chat to him. Do go and check him out on tour. And before you go, just one other thing I want to briefly mention. I have a new podcast with the brilliant comedian Ellis James and the fantastic podcaster Chris Skull. Oh, What a Time. That's Oh, What a Time. If you want to check it out, I would love that. Please do. If you enjoy the show, hopefully you'll enjoy that one too. So do check out Oh, What a Time, available wherever you get your podcasts. And next week we have another
fantastic guest heading your way. So do come back for another helping of my favourite takeaway. We will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.